Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Growth Well. I'm your host, Josh Bird. I'm so excited that you guys keep listening. Thank you so much for dialing into this show and learning alongside me how to balance professional growth and personal well-being. Thanks, as always, to Market Scale for making this happen. And I've got an awesome guest for you today, an old friend of mine, Asha Strazero-Wild. I met way back when I was starting my healthcare entrepreneurial journey, and we've remained friends. She's an amazing entrepreneur. She's just opened her own agency. She's a mom, and she's a big advocate and community service person, very involved in her community. And somehow she juggles all of these balls with grace and a big old smile that you're about to see right now. So welcome, Asha.
Thanks for having me on the show, Josh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait for the audience to meet you. So for our audience, you know, they don't have the benefit that I do of knowing you for so long. Tell us, who is Asha?
Good question. I don't know. I'm still figuring that out a little bit.
That's okay. We all are.
I live outside of Boston. I'm married. I've got a second grader, a very energetic, happy little boy. And I'm the co-founder and principal at Outpoint. It's a growth strategy and execution practice. We provide best practice strategies and hands-on support to healthcare innovators to really help them establish a solid foundation for exponential growth. It's a lot of fun.
Man, y'all are so good at it too. I love referring these guys, just so you know. If you call me and you're like, hey, I'm in healthcare and I need help with marketing, I'm probably giving you Asha's number because they are rock stars at what they do. So a little plug there for you. But why I wanted to have you on the show, obviously this is not just a business show where we talk about our work, but we talk about our lives. And so I'm really curious about your purpose for what you do. And what gets you out of bed in the morning and keeps you going when things get maybe a little hard?
Awesome. Good question. So I think all of us have been a patient at one point in our life, or we've known someone who's been a patient. Yeah. If we haven't had healthcare challenges. And it's hard. You go in, you don't feel well, you're with someone who doesn't feel well, you have an injury, you're dealing with someone else's injury. And you get in there and you are immediately accosted by questions. What's your name? What's your birthday? What's your insurance? All sorts of questions that are overwhelming when you're just trying to deal with not feeling well or being with someone who doesn't feel well. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening around you with doctors, nurses, techs. And I think all of that contributes to your patient experience.
Yeah.
And so what really gets me up is thinking about, what's that patient experience and how do we make it better when folks are not feeling well and they're going in for care? And I think, you know, Josh, you and I met in this space.
Yeah, about I was just thinking about that.
Experience. Yeah, like over a decade ago, thinking about,
hey, don't make me feel old now.
Yeah, how do we make a better patient experience overall? Yeah. How do we support healthcare systems and providers to be able to provide the best care that they can without all of the hurdles of healthcare systems and infrastructure around them? So it's one of the things that gets me up at night. I love working with healthcare innovators who are thinking about how do we improve processes to make that better.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, until my current work with Copian AI, I've been in healthcare my whole career, and you know, it's so purpose driven. It was just a good alignment for you, and I think that's what where we initially connected. That and you know, lamenting over the fact that we had to be at a trade show in some big city for the fifth time that year. But anyway. So to do all that you do, I'm curious too about rituals, habits, routines. What do you do to keep yourself professionally growing, but also personally healthy and balanced if you believe in that?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people ask me that. I feel like I've earned a little bit of a reputation for not dropping the ball. And I will tell you, there is one word that I have for you is calendar. Mm-hmm. And I think it sounds really silly. People talk all the time about like, oh yeah, I'm going to write it down. I'll get back to that. But I'm really disciplined about my calendar. Yeah. Every single week we sit down as a family. We talk about what are the things in our personal lives that need to get done. How are we going to balance the things that we need to do with our work lives and our kids' life and our community life? And then that translates across the whole week. And then we fill in our work calendar around it. And we're really diligent about that as a family. But then I'm also really diligent about that in my work. So every single day, I look at my calendar at the start of the day and I make sure I'm oriented from the day. And then every single day at the end of the day, I look at what I did or didn't get accomplished. Sometimes things happen, meetings run over, you have interruptions, and I physically move all of my work tasks that did or didn't get done to the next day. So stuff doesn't fall off my radar. When I think of something, I don't write it down. I don't say I'm going to remember it. I literally put a note in my calendar and hold a 30-minute block. And that's how I ensure stuff gets done. And I think creating a routine around that is what has allowed me to be really effective and efficient in my life and make sure that things don't fall through the cracks.
So I got to ask you, just for my personal, like, I do that too, except for, you know, at some point my calendar's full, right? And things just keep getting moved to the next day and the next day and the next day. Like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I'll give you two answers. So part one is you got to prioritize.
Yeah.
I don't always get everything done and some things move. Part two is if it's moved for more than 10 days, it's probably not a priority.
That's right.
And then delete it.
Delete it. Don't be scared to delete it. It's so true. We do a lot of things that are really not necessary.
Yeah. And I always say, like, is this the thing that I'm going to die on the hill for? And if it doesn't get done, is it going to stress me out? Or is it something I want to do? And I'm really big on moving things out a month or 2 months and saying, I know I want to come back to this. I don't have time right now. I don't have time in the next month. I know I'm not going to have time in the next month. I'm not going to set myself up to feel bad about it. I'm going to move it out for 2 months.
Yeah. I use a project management system just for my personal stuff. And I have a parking lot area where I just park it. You know, it's just not going to happen right now for this reason or that. And it's just got to go in the parking lot. And so I am curious, how do you prioritize? I'm going to stay on this subject for just a minute because people have trouble actually being honest with themselves about what is a priority. So do you have a quick tip or trick on how you think about prioritization?
Yes. So for my work life, I always start with what are the goals? What are the objectives? What are the imperatives? What are the tactics? And if what you're doing isn't ultimately going to kind of waterfall back up and get you to that goal, probably not something you should do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's fun. There's a lot of stuff that's interesting. There's a lot of stuff that I want to do. But at the end of the day, if it's not going to help reach the overarching goal, it's got to get crossed off the list. And for anyone who's ever worked with me, you know that I'm pretty diligent about that.
There's incredibly.
Interesting, but a lot, not as many things that are critical or imperative to the work. And that's where we've got to focus our time. So,
yeah, that's hard for some of us. I know that I like to pull strings and see where they go and find that I do get some business ideas out of there, but I also waste a lot of time. Yeah. And for every one great thing that comes out of, you know, quote, wasted time, I probably have 9 or 10 that I shouldn't have explored. So I'm trying to get better at that. But have you always been that way? Is that like built into your personality? Is that something your parents taught you? Or did you have kind of a crucible moment where you're like, oh my gosh, my life is all over the place and I've got to get things straight? Like, how did that work out for you?
I think I've always been like that. My parents are very laid back. They're not super stressed out about anything. They're very adventurous. They're kind of like, let's see where things go. And I'm a little bit more of a planner. I like to know what's going to happen. I definitely try to think in time frames of like a week, a month, a quarter, a year, five years, 10 years. You know, every decision you make every single day has an effect. I'm a big believer that you make the best decision you can with the data that you have in front of you.
Yeah.
And you move on.
Yeah.
And sometimes you end up making the wrong decision. You said, well, I made the best decision I can with the data I had in front of me. And now I have more data and I'm going to make a different decision. And so I think I apply that personally and professionally.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So I'm curious, how often do you sit down and strategically plan versus just kind of make plans as you go? Because that seems to be a key to your success, right? Is your plan. But if your plan is, you know, constantly changing, how often do you step back and review the big one?
Yeah, often. probably more often because I'm systematic in setting the time for it. So, you know, again, it comes back to making sure that you've got that time blocked, got that time planned to actually think. I'm a really big believer in think time. We're running so fast all the time. I think everyone's, I don't have enough time in my day. And so I think there's a lot of reaction and a lot of like, I just got to get this task done. And I'm a really big proponent of set aside think time during your day. I start every single day with reading in the healthcare industry, with reviewing my LinkedIn, with just having time to look at all of the work that I'm doing and step back and say, what actually has to happen today? And how do I ensure that everything that I'm doing is focused on those tasks? Because that's what's going to ultimately get transferred to the next day, to the next, to the next.
Yeah. And where did you learn that that's the routine that works for you? Is it developed over time, or how did you learn it from a book or a podcast or something?
I wish I could tell you. I feel like some people are born with that. Like some people are born ready to jump off a cliff and go paragliding. That's not me. I missed my career in risk management. That just has 10 reasons why you shouldn't do any of those danger sports. But I think for me, I have a real passion for ensuring that I've got a system for myself. And part of the system is having a system for backup. And I think, you know, for me, my son always says to me, "Mom, I'm so prepared." And I'm like, well, you can be as prepared as you can be. And then you got to pivot and make stuff up in the moment. And I think giving yourself the grace and flexibility to do that when things don't exactly expect is also really important. And I think the more you prepare and don't have those unexpected situations personally and professionally, the easier it is to then pivot and have the headspace to think about, all right, this didn't go how I thought it would go. What am I going to do next?
Yeah, that grace and flexibility and also a sense of humor, I think goes a long way when you are a planner and you're a high performer, but you're also so many other things, a wife and a mom and, you know, a community service person, volunteer, you know, and so you've got to balance it all and have a little bit of grace and flexibility and looseness and even humor.
And it's not fun. If it's not fun, Josh, like I'm not super into it. I think, you know, every day you get to make decisions about how you spend your time.
Yeah.
And I think important is be intentional about how you want to spend your time. And part of what I appreciate about the discipline that I've created around looking at my calendar and thinking about how I'm going to spend my personal and professional time is I want to really enjoy the time that I am spending.
Yeah.
So for me, that's also part of what I'm looking at is what do I want to do and how does that become part of the work that I do every day?
Yeah. And, you know, as busy as you are, sometimes or somehow rather, when a friend says, "Hey, I'm going to be in Boston in 3 days. You want to have breakfast?" You can make it happen. In for our listeners, that friend was me. And I said, "Hey, by the way, I'm in Boston." And she said, "Great, let's have breakfast." And as busy as she is, she made time for me. And that made me feel great. That's pretty awesome, you know? So I know you can't be perfect. As much as I think you are, and our listeners might think you are, you know, you probably get off balance. And I'm curious, most of us don't recognize it first. We have to have systems in place or other people in place that can kind of help us recognize when, you know, hey, you seem a little tense, a little stressed, a little off. Do you have systems and people in your life that can help you identify, where you need to maybe make a little tweak?
Yeah. You know, my first piece of advice to anybody who feels stressed out is sleep on it. Get a good night of sleep. I feel like the next day, everything always looks a little bit more manageable. So
it really does.
It really does. So that's one of my big practices is like, if something's frustrating or I've had a tough day, it's like, take a break, get a good night of sleep. Second thing is I've got an awesome husband. He's great. He's good at listening. He sometimes knows me better than myself. And I think being able to have really honest personal and professional relationships with your partner is really important. Mm-hmm. And we have an awesome group of mother executive friends. My mom's groups are amazing. I've met some incredible women here where I live, and I'm part of the Boston Club, which is an executive women's club in Boston. And so I think part of what I've really enjoyed is having a lot of other women executive friends who are balancing work and life and kids and sports and permission slips. And so I think it's really wonderful to have a community where sometimes you can just say like, oh, I've had a frustrating day. Can I just tell you about it? And have someone who really relates to you. And it's great. Those are the people who you got to call in those moments who you can say, I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to be like, yeah, I've had a bad day too.
Yeah. Like, that, you know, honestly, that was the genesis or part of the genesis of this podcast was I was trying to find a community like that for myself. And I started having these conversations over coffee, and then somebody suggested that I stick a microphone in the room, and it's evolved from that, right? Because I found that a lot of the things that I struggle with balance-wise from being a dad and wanting to stay healthy, but wanting to grow my business or the businesses that I'm involved in, and the stresses and the challenges that come with that, I'm not alone in that, but they can feel very isolating, especially in a day and age where a lot of us work from home, right? So, I mean, that was kind of the genesis of it. And so I love that you advocate for that. Now, did you find those on your own? Were you invited? Did you start them yourself? I wouldn't be surprised if you did. How did you come about those groups?
So the Boston Club exists in Boston, which is delightful to join that group. And then I met a couple other working moms out here, and we've teamed up and put together a group of women, and it's just grown and grown. And it's been awesome. I think being able to have that community is really important and have a good business partner. I have a phenomenal business partner, Kelly Wild.
Yes, you do.
Yep. And you've had the opportunity to meet Kelly. Yep. And both personally and professionally, I could not ask for a better partner in this work. And when I'm stuck on something or feeling a little overwhelmed, or when I'm thrilled to celebrate one of our successes, you know, it's great to have a business partner who can go through all those emotions and be a part of all of that with you.
Yeah. I think the name of the game is community and sharing in the experience that you're going through, right?
Absolutely.
It's so important. So when that community kind of helps you realize that Asha is off balance, off track, what's your go-to to kind of get yourself back to center?
Have a good night of sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really important. I think, you know, for me, community service is a really big part of my life.
Right.
And being involved in our local food bank and thinking about food insecurity, housing insecurity, all of these things that many of us take for granted in the professional world. Being able to be reconnected to that and remind myself how lucky I am to be in a wonderful home with a wonderful and supportive family and have a job that I love to go to every single day. I think sometimes you just need to take a moment and, quite frankly, just read the news, look around, take a drive, and just think about what a beautiful place you live in and the great people around you, because there's a lot of sadness and there's a lot of anger and disappointment in the world. And so even on my worst days, when I'm feeling bummed out about something, it's really easy to flip back to being grateful for what we have and that we live in and our friends and our family. When you look at two or three news headlines and remember what you're here for.
Yeah, gratitude is so undervalued often. And just stopping and looking around. I mean, I pull into our home and I try to just sit and stare in awe of it sometimes, because not because it's super fancy or anything like that, but because it houses my wife and my children and the things that I love. And that's pretty awesome, you know? And so I'm thankful for those things. And so it's, turning to gratitude. That's a good one. So if you were talking to Asha 20 years ago, or somebody who's looking up to you now and saying, I want to be involved in my community. I want to own my own agency. I want to be a mom. I want to find an incredible husband. I want to have it all and juggle it all. what would you tell them? What kind of advice would you share with that person? That's like, how do I be you, and hold it all together the way you have and you do?
That's a great question. I think the advice that I would give is be kind. Mm. I'm a big believer in karma, and I think what you put out there personally and professionally, you will get back.
Yeah.
And so be kind to your friends, to your family, be kind to your coworkers. You have no idea what kind of a day they might have had and what might be going on in their home. And I think it's so important that every day we show up as our best self. And I think it's really important to both give yourself grace and flexibility, but give other people grace and flexibility. And I think looking back, I wish sometimes that I had been less irritable. Is it maybe the right word? I was like, I want stuff to happen now.
And right.
I think it's important just to sometimes like give things time and just remember, like, we're all showing up every single day and we don't know what's happening for other people. So
yeah.
Be kind, put good things into the world, and you'll be surrounded by good people.
Yeah. Be kind. That's, you know, that's probably going to be end up being some part of the title of this podcast. It's the simplest but best advice, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
I really think it's something that if I were to say one thing that I would pass on to my child, I tell him every day, like, be kind to people around you.
Yeah. It's true. And you're good at that. Just so you know, I want to affirm you and tell you that you're very good at that. So, you're living your values for sure. So, well, I'm curious, what's next on the horizon for you? What are you excited about? What areas are you trying to grow? Are there things coming up in your world that you're pumped for?
Yeah. You know, professionally, I'm super excited about having started Outpoint with Kelly Wilder. We are having a blast. It's fun. We're getting to meet amazing healthcare innovators, and I'm really excited about seeing what else is out there. It has been really exciting to meet people and to see the innovations that they're coming up with to improve healthcare and improve the patient experience. So professionally, that's what I'm really excited about. And personally, I'm just really open to seeing like what the next steps are to continue impacting my community here and working with some of the other moms in my community to do good things here and around the globe. So
yeah. Wow.
I think I'm just open and excited to see what happens.
And somehow find time to go to hockey games and bike races that your husband and son participate in as well.
I'm really good at snack bags.
Snack bags. Noted. Next time I'm in Boston and need a pick me up, I'm calling you for a snack bag.
Absolutely.
Deal?
Perfect. Sweet, salty, and a good drink.
Yes. That's all you need in life, right? That's honestly, that's a pick me up that never gets mentioned on this show, but a good snack, a good healthy snack and a drink, sometimes a coffee if it's like right about now. It's powerful. You know, have you ever done the snack, coffee, and 15-minute nap in that order?
Oh, no, but my mom calls that the nappuccino.
The nappuccino. It's awesome because like the carbs and the protein that you intake mixed with the caffeine kind of have a minute to work through your body while you're sleeping, and you wake up feeling like you can conquer the world. I knocked it until I tried it, and then I was like, oh my gosh, that is powerful. Nappuccino,
awesome.
Though. I'm going to borrow that one from your mom. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us and with the listeners. Listeners, if you want to find Asha, we'll have her LinkedIn credentials in the show notes if you're watching this on YouTube. And you can find her on LinkedIn and the great work she's doing there. Thank you again. Thank you, everyone, for listening. GrowthWell continues to grow. And so that gives us hope that there's more people striving to be successful and just generally good human beings. So thank you all for listening. Thanks to MarketScale for making it happen. And until next time, go out and pursue growth well.